New Year's Day, beginning at 10 a.m., the WPFW family and the members of King Solomon Grand Lodge will distribute to those in need all of the winter gear so generously donated by our listeners. Items such as coats, hats, socks, and more for men, women, and children are available. Support for our community begins at 10 a.m. from the Lodge, 2245 Rhode Island Avenue, Northeast. Additional information at WPFWFM.org or by calling the King Solomon Grand Lodge at 202-378-3843. A very heartfelt thank you goes out to all who contributed. We wish you a very happy holiday season and a prosperous new year. WPFW and our partners continue to positively impact the community one event at a time.
Peace, this is Aton Thomas, and you're listening to WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. My main man, Kalia, right now is in the studio right now. He is looking at all of these lights flashing and things blinking and VU meters VUing, and who knows what the heck that means. Certainly not me. So let's thank Kalia for making this show happen. He's the brains behind this operation. If he's the brains, that means I'm a brawn. I'm the brawn, right? There was a famous song that went something like this. You got the bronze, I got the brains, let's make some money. But whatever the case may be, let's talk. A couple of things going on. First of all, let me give out the number for those who want to call. We're taking calls. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. We got open lines, and whatever you want to talk about is fine. I'll start with this. Here's the Telegraph. FBI found evidence COVID was lab leak, was not allowed to brief the president. So all of this stuff is coming up. Now, keep in mind something. When COVID was going on, and after COVID, when people like Garland Nixon said, I wasn't the one who came up with it. I just saw the evidence and said, it's obviously a lab leak. It is obviously a lab leak. The evidence was overwhelming. And then one day I read right here on WPFW, you can go online and find the emails that Dr. Fauci got. And Dr. Fauci got emails from top scientists in the world that says, hey, this looks like a lab leak. Hey, this couldn't possibly happen in nature. Yeah, I'm about 70-30, it's a lab leak. So immediately when the COVID thing happened, Dr. Fauci got a bunch of emails that says it looks like a lab leak. And he proceeded to go out and say, it ain't a lab leak. When his scientists said it's a lab leak, he went to the public and said, well, clearly it's not a lab leak. What kind of a crazy person would say it was a lab leak? So maybe perhaps you'll understand. So now they're saying it was a lab leak from China. That I don't even believe either. The evidence is clear to me that the lab leak was from Fort Detrick in Maryland. And I could go over the evidence over and over. I'll tell you what you do. Go online and look up Fort Detrick, D-E-T-R-I-C-K. Go look it up. August of 2019, they got shut down. Fort Detrick shut down. Just before COVID, there was an emergency and it shut down. And then all of a sudden, there was this really weird and strange outbreak of some kind of a disease that killed a bunch of old people at an old folks home nearby in two different ones. And then, of course, suddenly we had that old family favorite, vaping disease, which was the weirdest thing because the vaping disease had exactly the same symptoms as COVID. So bottom line, so now, hey, you know, perhaps after all, it was a lab leak. Oh, so I figured it out immediately, but it took them 4 years. Oh, well, better late than never. All right. We're talking about all kinds of stuff, and it is the open line. Getting towards the end of the year, so we can talk about whatever you want to. 202-588-0893. A couple things to remember. Numero uno. keep the phone to your ear. Don't set the phone down when you call in. And while you're on hold, make sure you listen to the phone because we have a 10-second delay. And if you don't hold the phone, if you just listen to the computer or the radio, when I call your name, you won't hear it for 10 seconds. Okay, number one. Number two, keep the phone close to your mouth and speak loudly so we can hear you. 202-588-0893. First caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Dave Kensington.
Oh, when you said Dave, you know what I thought? Cheech and Chong. Dave, I was going to say, Dave ain't here, man. But anyway, go ahead, Dave.
You might as well, dude. You might as well. You and I have had correspondence. My wonderful person, I believe I shared with you a link about a Ukrainian sample that was unearthed. And there are more than one research centers for advanced virology research.
46 in Ukraine, 46 bio labs. And the United States built 46, quote, bio
more than
research
several.
Labs. But they were built by the Pentagon. Yeah. So I tend to think when the Pentagon builds them, it's bioweapons lab. Just my opinion. If the Pentagon builds it, I tend to think it's a bioweapons lab and not a bioresearch lab.
And now how does this get built by the Pentagon? By Hunter Biden's authority? Because he was just acquitted.
Yeah, well, it don't matter now, though. Anything that Hunter did for the last 10 years. Man, you know what? I need a pardon like Hunter Biden got, dude. I need a pardon for any crime I may have committed for the last 10 years. That's what I'm trying to get.
Blanket authority. I don't know what that has to do with Kwanzaa, because it seems like the Nazi Kwanzaa, like the reverse of the Buddhist symbol. Anyway, thank you, Garland. I appreciate it.
All right, brother. All right, 202-588-0893. We got any calls? Nope, no calls. Okay, that's fine. 202-588-0893. Yes, so bottom line, I was just going to bring that up. And I do think the reason, timing is everything. Whenever something happens, I guess, as you know, I was a former investigator. And I always think of certain factors whenever things happen in the news. And one of them is timing. Why now is the question I always ask when you're doing an investigation. Why did that happen now? Timelines, we call them when you're doing investigations. Bottom line is, I think, why is it? Isn't it weird that just before Trump comes in, the Biden people are like, you know, the intelligence agencies, yeah, we knew it was a lab leak, but we didn't tell Biden. No, Biden absolutely didn't know, because if he knew, that would have meant he was lying to you. So he didn't know. They all knew. And you know who else knew? Trump knew. Trump knows too. Trump knew. Trump was, he was there. They all knew that it was that Fort Detrick leaked in late June of 2019. That's my opinion. I can present anyone a significant amount of evidence to that. But bottom line is this. So now they're going to start trying to cover their tracks. 202-588-0893. Open lines. Next, another issue that we can talk about, and that is Ukraine. The incoming administration is talking about getting a deal to end that war. As you all know, if you listen to me, I am neither fish nor fowl. I am neither Republican nor Democrat. I am in opposition to both of them, and their vicious, brutal, imperialist foreign policies. But anytime there's a war to be ended, count Garland Nixon in. Hey, somebody wants to end a war. I'm all for that. I don't care who it is. Trump, if Trump can end the Ukraine conflict, hooray. I hope it happens as quick as possible. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
George.
George, where are you calling from, George?
D.C.
Hey, George, you don't have the... I'm not hearing my name, but our stuff in the, you got the radio turned off in the background, right, George?
Right.
Okay, go ahead. What's happening?
All that stuff aimed at destroying black people.
You got to speak a little louder. I can't hear you.
All that stuff aimed at destroying black people.
You think it's all that's just, okay. I'm listening. Keep going.
Huh? Because, you know, all the things about us, we don't study them. Listen, man. If you can't stare at the sun, you're in trouble.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, I'm not hearing you real good. I'd like to hear more of what you have to say and hear your philosophical theories, my brother, but not hearing you real clear, so thank you very much. All right, that was George. Hopefully, he'll get a little better connection next time. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is T-Bird from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. How you doing?
Hey, T-Bird. Did you say T-Bird?
Yeah, I did. A nickname people gave me. Another thing.
One of my favorite cars back in the day. I used to love a Thunderbird. But go ahead.
About Dr. Fauci.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I question now, I don't hear a lot about it in the news media, but he did the same thing he did with his son. He gave Fauci a preemptive pardon for a bunch of years going back into the past.
I suspect there's going to be a whole lot of people getting pardons. I suspect it's going to be a whole lot of people going to get mad. See, I think personally, here's what I think. That right now, you know, Biden pardoned like 1,000 people or something. I think that's cover. See, he going to pardon 1,000 like regular people, and that's going to give him the clearance to pardon 2,000 people in his cabinet. Everybody in his cabinet is getting pardons. All of them getting pardons.
I tend to agree with you. You know, it is very funny that we didn't hear more about some of the stuff in RFK's book. Now, don't get me wrong. RFK is an Israeli supporter, but there are some things that when I was doing some research on COVID, I found that, for example, ivermectin, there's not a whole lot here, but in the Israeli newspapers, they said that certain people with COVID were in different hospitals, and some were given ivermectin, what they call horse medicine here, and they did better than the people who were vaccinated.
So a lot of countries, used ivermectin. A lot of countries, Japan, a lot of countries, not third world, a lot of industrialized countries treated COVID with ivermectin. But for some reason here in the United States, if you even use the word, then you were some kind of a crazy conspiracy theorist. Why, you could go to other countries, which were modernized industrial countries, that use that as an intricate and important part of the various drugs that they use to treat COVID. Here it was like, hey, what do you think about ivermectin? Oh, you're a Trump supporter. And I was like, I'm just trying to figure out, you know. Well, I didn't even get that. It was crazy.
Yeah, Trump supporter. I'm a truth supporter. And I noticed that in Africa, a lot of world health researchers are there testing the people, trying to figure out why there's an inverse correlation between deaths in Africa, which very, very few compared to any place else in the world. And vaccination. Why is that not commented on by the NIH and some of these other health agencies? And I don't know. I have a whole lot of questions about the vaccine treatments here and versus other places. And
Let me throw something at you. I'll let you continue. Let me throw one other thing at you, T-Bird, and that is, the whole COVID thing in the United States got turned into some kind of a party thing, right? It was like, if you question it, you're a Trump supporter or something, or a Republican or something. If you say, hey, you know what? There's this is government policies, health policies saying we should do this or that, we shouldn't do this or that. And there was a lot of said, hey, you know what? Anytime I see a government policy, I think I have a right and a duty to question it and ask for further blah, 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 right? And here, if you said, I have questions about that, I'd like to find out more, look into it, see what's going on, you were attacked as a crazy person. And people used to say you were smart for
researching.
I'd like
to hear more about, too, like the Amish did not do what they were supposed to do, and they didn't get vaccinated, and yet very few of them died. I'd like to hear the truth about these things without just off-the-cuff attacks against RFK, even though, as I say, I don't support his full support of Israel.
But you know what's interesting about him? So they said RFK Jr. is a crazy man, right? Oh, he's just a crazy conspiracy theorist. Now, he wrote a book called The Real Dr. Fauci, right? And that was, let's just say, extremely critical of Fauci, right? Dr. Fauci never disputed a word in it. Dr. Fauci never said, I'm going to sue him for lying about me, which if it was lies, he could have. Dr. Fauci never said anything in that book was false. But They said Dr. Fauci is the genius and RFK Jr. is the crazy person. Fauci didn't write a book critical of RFK Jr. It was the other way around. And I agree with you. I do not agree with RFK Jr.'s foreign policy regarding Israel. I'm opposed to war and I'm opposed to genocide, obviously. But when it comes to that, T-Bert, it was that whole thing going on during COVID, where if you said, I have some questions, I don't trust the government, you were portrayed as some kind of a crazy conspiracy theorist.
Well, sometimes the conspiracies seem to be coming true. Sometimes the theories against the government seem to be coming through, and now we see he has a preemptive pardon for Dr. Fauci. He didn't even wait for the what you suggested for the first 1,000 people to be pardoned were normal people, but Fauci got a pardon already, just like his son.
Anyway, isn't that weird how he pardoned his son?
Yeah, go ahead.
For any crime that he may have committed all the way back to 2014. Might I add, 2014 is an interesting year because that's the year that the United States overthrew the government of Ukraine and installed a puppet government. The evidence is overwhelming for that. That's the year that Hunter Biden then immediately went to Ukraine and got a job at Burisma Gas Company. He didn't speak the language. He knew nothing about gas. He knew nothing about what they were doing. But they gave the President Biden's son a job starting in 2014. They paid him just under $1 million a year, apparently to do nothing, and Joe Biden gave him a pardon back to that time. I suspect he was up to criminality. Why would you pardon your son if you didn't suspect that your son was up to criminality?
I've always suspected Biden. I'm from originally from Boston, Roxbury, Mass. And Biden and Louise Day Hicks and John Stennis made some very racist remarks and refusing to ship white kids into black school areas. And since then, I was scratching my head when Obama picked them. But I'm no longer scratching my head. I see how much money the pharmaceutical and insurance companies gave them after that. So that may be...
Let me just tell you, Biden's seat of power... Because when you understand politics, you understand that all the top politicians have someone somewhere that their power comes from. Biden is from Delaware. His power comes from the DuPont family. The DuPont family is in Delaware. The DuPont family owns all of Delaware politics, including Joe Biden. And might I add, there's all these credit card companies and all these corporations are working out of Delaware. So Joe Biden's, they used to call him, his nickname was Senator Credit Card because he was so owned by the credit card company. But you know, they got people convinced that he's a nice guy. And all you got to, if I say Joe Biden's a crook, he's always been, they'll say, but Trump. And I'll say, yeah, Trump too.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, but let me get going. I got a couple
I'm going with you. Third party all the way.
Yep. All right, thank you. Care. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? You're on the air.
Hello?
Can't hear you.
My name is Christine. I'm from Maryland.
I'm not hearing you really well. I don't know if you're on a speakerphone or if your mouth is not close to the phone or something, but it's difficult for
Can you hear me now?
Now we're talking.
Okay. My name is Christine. I'm from Maryland.
And okay. What's that?
I wanted to ask you a few questions. you made a point about Dr. Fauci not going after Kennedy after he wrote the book.
Yeah.
Why would he?
He didn't dispute. He never disputed anything in the book.
Why would he?
He wouldn't, because I would imagine that he wouldn't. But my point was that that book was quite critical of Dr. Fauci, and it implies that the critiques are factual. That's my implications.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My thoughts are, it probably wasn't, you know, some things you just don't answer. You know,
I don't know. If you lie about me in a book, I'm probably going to see you.
my other question was, about, the pardon, Biden's pardon. You had indicated that there would be a lot of people getting pardoned. Were you implicating some of his cabinet members?
Yes, this is a guess. I'm not going to know it. As a person who is I consider myself a political analyst. I oftentimes, if you're a political analyst, people will say, what do you think is going to happen? They'll ask for my prediction. I predict that Joe Biden will pardon a lot of people. One of the reasons I predict that is because he's already talked about it. There is significant articles about Joe Biden issuing some preemptive pardons for people like Liz Cheney and some other people. I suspect there will be significant. The old saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. If they're talking a bunch of pardons, you're probably going to see them.
Oh, you mean for the people that were against Trump during the January 6th?
No. A number of different things. I would bet that he's going to pardon Tony Blinken. Tony Blinken was involved in, well, it was alleged to be involved in the infamous story about 51 former intelligence agents who said that the Hunter Biden laptop story had all the earmarks of Russian propaganda, which turned out to be absolute foolishness. All of the stories seem now to point to Tony Blinken making the call and setting that up. I suspect Blinken's going to be we'll see. I don't know. I suspect there's going to be a bunch of pardons coming. In fact, Bill Clinton talked about the potential recently for Hillary Clinton getting pardons all the way back to 1992. So Clinton's talking about pardons. They wouldn't be talking about pardons if there wasn't no pardons coming.
I thought the pardons that he did were mostly for people who were already out of prison. They were just on home arrest.
Yes, so
and
far.
With
the exception of his son. Yeah, he pardoned a bunch of people in jail so far. So you're correct.
Right. So my last thing is that I think most people who had questions about the vaccine were not just, let me clear this up. You made a point that most people who were making who state they don't trust the government were
what?
Against Trump or something. When I know
no,
that
I don't know exactly what you're saying. What I was getting at was this. There's a lot of people like me, right, who reflexively do not trust the government. And when the government says,
absolutely,
I have a policy for this, whatever the policy is, we're very suspicious of it. And we want more
absolutely
information so that to confirm that, okay, that's good, bad, true, or false, or whatever. That was what I was getting at. I hope I cleared it up for you.
But I would say the majority of us who do not trust the government are not Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm.
I
agree. What I was saying is, if people would call you a Trump, people would call me a Trump supporter. And I'd say, I'm to the left of the Democratic Party. I sure ain't a Republican. But no, people would say that. They'd be like, oh, you're a Trump supporter. I'd be like, no, I'm to the left of the Democrats.
Yeah, I would think that we have a history of not trusting for color, have a long history of not trusting the government.
Right. I think it's wise. Okay. I mean, they consistently lie to us. It's not the issue to me is not who does trust the
government.
The issue to me is, why would anybody trust them? Go ahead.
I would just hope we finally get to a place where we don't look to the government so much as other tribes in the country don't do. If we can just rise up as individuals and recognize that, as it said, when people do what they do, believe what they do the first time. You know, that mm-hmm. they have proven themselves in that regard over and over again.
You sound like me. Who was it? The woman that used to go on Oprah used to say, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, sir. Appreciate the call. All right. Have a great day. The number is 202-588-0893. And people have been talking about COVID, but remember, it's the end of the year. You can talk about anything. I would like to hear what people have to say about Ukraine and the potential for ending that very, very dangerous conflict. I hope that happens. But whatever you want to talk about, we got. If you want to talk about the Middle East, Gaza, Syria, whatever, it's up to you. 202-588-0893. You're on the air. You are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Good day. I'm calling from Fort Washington, Maryland. Good
evening. What's happening?
Not much. Interesting conversation. I always enjoy your show way back when you used to be with the other guy. It was a duo.
Yes.
Very intriguing conversation. But I would be someone who would describe you as a Trump supporter. And
let me ask you one question, though. In order to be a Trump supporter, don't you have to support Trump?
Not really.
Well, that don't make sense to me. That's like saying you're a basketball player, but you never picked up a basketball in your life.
That's fair. I can explain my thoughts.
You're a Trump supporter. Do you support Trump? Certainly not. Logically speaking, I think there's a flaw in your logic, my dear friend. But continue.
May I explain my logic?
Sure.
Wonderful. Thank you. So based on months and months of you ranting against the Biden administration, it gives the vibe that you are a I know you're not new to this because, like I said, I've been listening a long time, but a lot of people who are new to politics are COVID activated, vaccine activated, Fauci activated. And you seem to speak in that vein. And so that's what makes me formulate that notion. Right. And if you label yourself as left of the Democratic Party, then my thought would be that your wisdom would tell you that you should know that the Democratic Party can be taken over in a way that the Republican Party could never. The Republican Party would blow itself up before an actual grassroots effort influenced them. What they're doing now is pretending to be a grassroots party, but we know, you and I and others know, that that's fraudulent. It's just trying to sign on to the wave of the time. But some of the language you use, some of the perspective I've heard you display here is of that 2021 just got into politics perspective. And because if you know that.
Well, you know, I've been doing this show since 2006.
Yes,
so
no,
I didn't just get into politics. And I started doing radio in Baltimore in 1999. So I didn't. But I didn't just get into politics, but go ahead.
I know that, but my thought is that your hyper focus on vaccines, COVID, Fauci, and attacking the Biden administration, knowing that Trump is lurking, is sort of denigrating the Democratic Party. And I don't care about the Democratic Party. I didn't vote for Clinton. I didn't vote for Obama. I don't care about the Democratic Party, but I know which side can be worked with and which side is going to drain the resources from my community versus which side will replenish the resources in my community. And so I wouldn't attack Biden in the way that you did. I, too, am left of the Democratic Party. But I realize that denigrating Biden doesn't solve anything. What does
empowering
the Democratic Party and then infiltrating.
Number one, when I'm denigrating, per se, Biden, I'm denigrating U.S. foreign policy. See, I don't think Joe Biden didn't make U.S. foreign policy. The United States is a pirate ship. They go around the world overthrowing countries and stealing people's stuff. And they didn't just start when Joe Biden came in. Now, Americans try to ignore that, and they try to pretend like we're on a luxury liner. We ain't on a luxury liner. We're on a pirate ship. And it ain't Joe Biden, and it ain't Barack Obama, and it ain't Donald Trump. This is U.S. foreign policy. Now, he happens to be sitting on the bridge of the ship right now. He didn't build the ship, and he doesn't steer the ship, even though it may appear that he does at times. So to me, I'll put it like this. To me, if you look at what the two parties agree on, war, find a time when they're going to say, you know, perhaps we're spending too much on the Pentagon, and we should spend money for the American people. Not going to happen.
Never.
So to me, I understand where you're coming from, because you're of a mindset that you see two parties. I'm of a mindset that I see a country. that has a foreign policy that does not benefit the people and that is malevolent and malicious towards the world. And I'm black. It is particularly malicious around the world to brown or black people that look like me. They go to Africa, they go to Latin America, they go to Asia, and they steal people's stuff and they kill them and they overthrow their country. And I don't care if it's Biden or Trump. I'm not going to support that. I'm going to fight against it with everything I have. Go ahead.
We agree. May I respond? Thank you. So
sure.
We agree. We agree. I don't see it as two parties. I see it as one party with fringes on each side. And what I do notice is that the Republican Party was on the deathbed. And then here comes Trump with what? Bernie Sanders' message. So what does that mean? That means that the far left perspective and language resonates. And so empowering the Democratic Party gets us closer to moving in that direction. Empowering the Republican Party does the opposite. And I see
I'm going to throw one thing at you that you said. One thing you said is important. I got a couple other calls, but I'm going to throw one thing you and get you to answer it. I was a Democrat. In 2016, I supported Bernie Sanders with all of my heart. And the Democratic Party destroyed him, not the Republicans.
Yes.
It's the Democrats. And at that point, I said, you know what? They ain't the answer. They are not the cure. They're the disease. If you think you're going to get some kind of a populist revolution, the job of the Democrats is to kill a left-wing populist revolution. And when Bernie was going to win, they took him out. And he was going to win in 2022 again. I mean, 2020.
Agreed.
He was going to win again, and they took him out again. And I realized something. I've been had. Bernie Sanders' voice is not the voice of the Democratic Party. It is the voice that the Democratic Party lives to destroy. And that's who they are. And I was a big Bernie supporter because he said the things that I believed in. And when they took him out, I said, I see this party for what it is. We got a couple more callers. I'll give you the last word before we go to the next caller. And I appreciate this
call. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. We totally agree. The difference, except for one piece, what I'm telling you is that the message itself was potentially game shifting, and the bully, which is the corporate control of both parties, was fading away. And that's by age, that's by old age on both sides. And so there was an opportunity there to surge on one side or the other. Trump took the opportunity and he surged, and now the Republican Party has life where it was on its deathbed.
Yep.
And my
and the Democrats could have had
the Democratic
it.
Party,
they could have had it.
I realize what you're saying, but
guy.
Nancy
they
Pelosi's
had
gone.
It.
Steny Hoyer's gone.
Had it,
Nancy Pelosi's gone.
Bernie would have won. You know what? They didn't take Bernie. They said, oh, Bernie can't win. They didn't take Bernie out because he couldn't win. They took him out because
right.
he could. And they would rather have Trump. The truth is, the leadership of the Democratic Party would rather have Trump than they would have Bernie.
We agree, but they were fading away, and if we empower them,
but
we
unfortunately,
take that
you know what? I appreciate the call, but I got a couple more
yes,
calls,
sir.
And I got to
yes,
try
sir.
To get. But hey,
have
man, this was
night.
A great call. Make sure you call back, and I really appreciate you listening to the show.
All right.
202-588-0893. Great caller. We got a lot of brilliant callers. Look, I may not agree with the brother on every issue, but he's a smart person. He understands politics, and he's moving in the right direction as far as I'm concerned. He's getting somewhere, and he's questioning something. So I appreciate that call. I love this show because I get a lot of smart callers. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Garland, it's Marvin from Fort Washington.
Talk to me, Marvin from Fort Washington.
Hey, how you doing, man? You know, if you look at history, man, if you look at colonization, you look at what the Europeans did when they came out of Europe, you know, the Portuguese, Britain, took Africans all over the world to build their civilizations, and they made profits off of that. They enslaved the indigenous people of this land and Canada, the boarding schools that killed just tens of thousands of indigenous people, kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this killing. Since 1492, it's just the U.S. foreign policy and Western colonialism is just colonized the whole world, Africa, Central America, South America, Asia, whole world. And in this country, we have just massive amounts of income disparities. Like the average family in D.C. makes $45,000 a year, black family, opposed to a white income family that makes $128,000 a year. We have so much abject poverty. We need solutions, man. You know, we need we know that both parties cater. You know, they get money from the corporate elites, the military. Well, we're not, almost 900 military bases. Then the majority of our money is going to the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
The pharmaceutical companies control this death care system. I visit a friend of mine in nursing care facility. She showed me one of her bills, $80,000 for just one surgery.
Well, oh, yeah. $80 for aspirin. If you look at your bill, you're in the hospital, $80 for aspirin.
And But if we were taught how to eat to live and a holistic way, like Dr. Watkins teaches all the time, well, we can cut back on these medical bills. We're juicing and cleansing and taking exercise and have a more balanced lifestyle, you know. And but one thing I want to discuss is Joe Biden pardons. It really bothered me when he pardoned the judge that was in Pennsylvania. That was responsible for the Kids for Cash scandal in Pennsylvania that prosecuted unjustly, wrongfully, over 2,300 kids of color in these two prisons. And both of these judges.
And what both, just to throw a bow on it. He was sending these, he was a judge, so people that don't know, sending these teenagers, they were under 18. So you're a teenager, let's say they did something, they got in trouble, and they came before this judge, right? This judge send them something 2, 3, 4 years in prison. But he was part owner of the prison for kids. It was a corporate prison. And he was part owner. So he was sending kids to jail so he could make money off of it. And Joe Biden just pardoned him. He was in jail for that. Joe Biden pardoned him, for the people who don't know. I mean, you know what? Let me ask you a question. Do you know what that's really about? I can tell you what I think it's about. Hope that I lose that. Did we lose our caller?
Go ahead.
I'll tell you what I think it's about. I had a person tell me, I'm not going to say what president it was under, but it was under a president. So this guy had a record and he wanted, and he, you know, had some connections, maybe a few dollars, shall we say. And he said, I had my attorneys contact the right people to get to the president's people to ask about a pardon. I said, what'd they tell you? He said, they told me $2 million. That's what he said. They told me $2 million. Yeah, you can get a pardon, $2 million. Now that was told to me by somebody that I believe in. What, and you know, I've been around DC for a while, $2 million. So what was that judge about? In my opinion, whatever, somebody came up with some loot, bruh.
Yeah, man, it just one atrocity. I mean, and especially inflicted on people of color in this country and all around the world, man. It's just, you know, colonization is a lab. I don't care what party's in the White House. They all do the building of the multinational corporations, the privatization, the prisons, pharmaceutical companies, the military industrial complex. And people in this country and all over the world, we have to be more united as a people, man. We have to learn about what's happening to us. I mean, but if you're listening to American media and Western media, you're not going to know a lot about these issues, man. You know,
so. Oh, you know what they'll do? Any country that the United States wants to overthrow, steal their stuff, encroach upon, here's how you know they're lying to you. The leader of, fill in the blank, is a dictator, and he's abusing his own people. As soon as they tell you that the leader of any country is a dictator, you know it's a lie, and you know that they want to steal the stuff of whatever country that is. I will guarantee you most of the time, if they say the leader of this country is a dictator, that country probably has oil. They almost always got oil. For some reason, only countries with oil have dictators. Isn't that strange?
Like, you know, they've been stealing the oil in Syria for a long time. And you know, the, you know, 24 U.S. companies bid for the oil in Iraq. They're taking the oil out of Iraq, and they want the oil in Venezuela. That's why they have over 40 sanctions on 40 nations of color, because they want the natural resources. They have starved the people to death and called the leader the biggest dictator in the world.
That's a fact. You're on the money. All right. Thank you very much. 202-588. Thank you. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. I'm surprised nobody has said anything about Ukraine yet. That's something that I thought people would be talking about. We have got a whole lot of propaganda about that in the last couple of years. So and I, for one, am hoping they could end that conflict. I do not want to die in a nuclear fireball. Perhaps that's a bad idea. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Uh-oh. I hear something's going on. Did our caller fall down?
No, I'm here.
Okay. Hello?
Yes, Brother Garland. This is Leo calling long distance from Lisbon.
Man, Leo in Portugal. What's happening, brother?
Not much. I've been listening to everything that everything that the fellow listeners were saying. And since this is an open mic session, I believe, I wanted to hear your opinion about the overthrow of Bashar al-Assad in Syria and the current leadership that's been governing the country for less than 3 weeks now, if I'm not wrong. And
go ahead.
The visit and the visit from U.S., European, and Turkish, as well as Levant, like officials from the Levant, neighboring countries in the Middle East, have been making the discussions they've had with the de facto leader Al-Julani.
So, well, you know, what's interesting about Syria is this. The United States, people can look this up, Operation Timber Sycamore. Just everyone look up Operation Timber Sycamore if you want to know about Syria. What was that? Back in under Barack Obama, Obama government, Hillary Clinton was running our foreign policy as the Secretary of State. Oh, by the way, WikiLeaks released a cable in which Hillary Clinton said that we need to overthrow the government of Syria for Israel. If you want to know why they're doing it, Hillary Clinton said for Israel. Everything in the Middle East, you can just add for Israel to it, right? So they started all of this sending weapons in. It was referred to as the dirty war on Syria. Now, one of the interesting things that happened then was Barack Obama said, they said, Barack Obama, you should attack Syria. He says, I'm not going to do it. So then he said, well, I would draw one red line if, in fact, there was he used poison gas or something, then I would. Well, a week later, what do you know? Hey, he used poison gas. Well, it was looked into and found out that it was a false flag. Crap. But at any rate, the bottom line is this. So now Americans think that, I guess, he used poison gas on his people. Americans believe that when all the evidence says it isn't true. But you got a lot of people that still believe that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. So you can tell people anything. But the bottom line is the United States wanted to overthrow the government of Syria for Israel. They've finally done it. They have installed ISIS in charge, and it's going to come back to ISIS. Literally, the United States worked with ISIS. They told us Al-Qaeda was evil, ISIS was evil, and now they're working with a man, the leader of Syria right now that the United States and Turkey put in charge, right, has a $10 million bounty on his head from the United States. The man Jelani, right, who is in charge of Syria right now, has a $10 million reward out for his delivery to the United States as a terrorist leader of ISIS. But the United States is like, well, we think we can work with this guy. Now, tell me how crazy that is.
No, definitely. I definitely think it is insane. It's definitely insane because, first off, if it wasn't for the United States, I mean, we have to go all the way back to the 80s when the United States supported the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, and among the many Mujahideen fighters, one of them, you know, Osama bin Laden, you know, formed Al-Qaeda. And, you know, that was because the United States definitely armed and financially supported the Mujahideen. in order to overthrow and do whatever it takes to get rid of Soviet influence and basically boost itself
in Afghanistan
and
correct.
Expand its empire. And let's face it, because and now you still have the same thing. And as you mentioned, you know, with ISIS, the U.S. definitely played a role in the formation of ISIS. And it's all and, you know, it's in the name of national security. It's, you know, making up all these, you know, stories to to like demonize Muslims at home. But then and also, you know, get trying to massacre Muslims, you know, through drone strikes and everything.
Hey, let me stop you real quick. Let me read this to you. This is from NBC News. The U.S. is set to remove the $10 million bounty it had previously placed on de facto Syrian leader Abu Mohammed al-Jalani. We had a $10 million bounty on this guy because he's an ISIS leader. And now the United States and Turkey have put him in charge. ISIS! Now, and I'm supposed, you know what kills me? When Biden was arguing with Trump, and as you know, I don't care for either of them. But they were like, Trump is a liar and Biden's a decent guy. I'm like, no, they ain't neither one of them decent guy. Decent guys don't put ISIS in charge of a country. Neither one of them's decent guys. True. Anyway, you get the last word real quick. I got a couple callers I got to jump to.
No, I definitely agree with what you're saying, because, again, regardless of who is in charge of the empire, as I would like to say it, yeah, I feel like both sides really don't care. I mean, they just as long as they, you know, as long as they're subservient to the U.S. empire and bow down to the U.S. empire, then they'll do whatever. The U.S. is just fine with
as long as they can get that money, man. All right, well, I got a couple calls I want to get to. Thank you very much. We're going to jump to the next caller. You are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Rick, calling from Germany.
Brother Rick, what's happening?
Have you seen Tyler Perry's movie on the heroic women of World War II?
No, I haven't. I saw, you know what? I think it's on Netflix. I saw something pop up for it, the 4888 or something like that, but I didn't watch the movie.
The 6888.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I knew it was a lot of eights involved.
I would like to see it. I haven't seen it myself. But they got the movie. The tanker battalion has to wait. The 761st. Mm-hmm. They have long been overshadowed by the Tuskegee Airmen. Mm-hmm. But these women are going to seduce a lot of other women to join the U.S. military and fight the next world war.
Dude, if there's another world war, it won't matter who fights it because we all going to get fried. If they get in a war with Russia or China, don't worry about it. It don't matter who's fighting. It ain't going to last but a couple hours. We will all be dead. There's a book out about that. I think it's called like 76 Minutes or something like that. Basically showing that there's nuclear confrontation within an hour, the whole world's dead. Nobody's about. There's a saying about nuclear war, because those who get killed in the first blast disappear. The rest of the people who survive will get fallout and they'll die a horrific, unthinkable, painful death. And the term is the dead will envy the living. Is what is it? The living will envy the dead, as they say. But yeah, so if these lunatics, which might I add, they want a war against Russia or China, because they are lunatics. War against Russia or China, we ain't got to worry about it. We're all gone, Rick. Hour. We won't live an hour.
I'm done, brother.
All right. Thank you. All right. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
JD from DC.
Talk to me, brother.
Oh, yeah. Two things real quick. My son got caught up in that whole Shelton Ham and that Glenn Mills crap that went back over in the past.
Yep.
So
that was Cheltenham was a place where they kept it was a boys' place for young people, yeah, that like a young people's prison. They did all kind of terrible things.
Right, but what they did on the Interstate Compact, they were sending guys up to the Glen Mills, and it was a whole bunch of crap, you know, even for minor charges and everything else. But now he's successful now. He's at Howard University, and he's doing well. You know, he's doing well. But now, the other two things I want to talk to you about is the stuff going on over in the Straits over there with the Houthis.
Yeah, the Red Sea.
Over there in the Red Sea that is not being talked about in the States. And guess what? There's so much other stuff that's going on over there that is not being explained. Could you speak about that on our behalf? And thank you, but and I checked you out online, you know, and everything else. I don't know why YouTube is doing what they're doing with you, you know. Facebook is doing what they're doing with you, but I still support you. Go ahead, brother.
Thank you very much. All right, thank you very much. We got any more callers? We got another caller? All right, next caller. You're on air. What's your name? Where you calling from? You're on the air, next caller. Oh, I hear something. That caller might be making some noise. Are you there, caller?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, there you go. It took us a while, brother man. You must have been away from the phone or something.
Yeah, maybe. But go ahead. I'm down in Southern Maryland, so maybe that's it.
Okay. What are your thoughts?
Okay, I have a quick question for you. What do you think Tulsi Gabbard's impact is going to be in her position in the Trump administration going into the next 4 years?
Personally, I think I could be wrong. Again, it's just speculation on my part, which is interesting that Tulsi Gabbard was mostly a lifelong Democrat and only with the last year that she switched to a Republican. I do think that I would support Tulsi Gabbard because for that particular position, because I think based on what I've heard her say in the past, I think she's a realistic foreign policy person. I think she is in opposition to nuclear war. And right now we need somebody that's opposing nuclear war. That for number one. So I think it's good because she opposes nuclear war. And I have listened to her. I've gone to Hawaii and listening to her in Hawaii. I went to when she initially announced for president in 2020, I believe it was, or 2019, whatever it was, 2018, whatever it was, where she was running in 2020, I went to Hawaii then and listened to a bunch of her speeches and actually talked to some of her people. So, yes, I would think that, but she was a Democrat then, that I think Tulsi's right. A good idea, in my opinion.
The only downside is she supports Israel.
That kills me, man. You can't find anybody that won't support that crap. That just burns me up.
One more quick question. Do you think she would have been better as Secretary of State or a Secretary of Defense?
I don't know. Now, here's what's interesting. The head of DNI, Director of National Intelligence, that is an important. First of all, the CIA reports to that person. If she gets the job, the CIA, NSA, all 17 intelligence agencies report to the Director of National Intelligence. So that is an extremely powerful job in this country. Extremely True. Powerful.
Hopefully she'll be a voice of reason in Trump's ear.
Well, one can only hope. Lord knows Trump needs a voice of reason in his ear. You know, he talks a lot of craziness. Hey, let's take Greenland, Canada, Panama.
Oh, yeah.
Trump, sometimes you're just like, what is he babbling about? Oh,
he believes half of what he says.
No, I agree with you. About 90% of what Trump says, I think
that's,
is just
that's more like
pure
it.
Prattle. All right,
hey,
thank you very much.
I appreciate your show. I'm a first-time caller, a long-time listener. Information you put out there and the conversations you have are so good. So just keep up the good work, brother.
Thank you very much. You know, it's funny. Before I go, I'll say this. One brother called in and called me a Trump supporter, and I said, but I don't support Trump. So it's weird how you're a Trump supporter. But let me explain my politics for those who don't know. Frederick Douglass said, I will join with anybody to do good and nobody to do bad. If Trump is going to stop a war, I don't care what war it is, I'm in. If he's going to start a war, I'm going to fight him. Simple as that. If he's going to do something I agree with, great. Same with Biden. Same with anybody. I just generally can never find a politician that's going to do something I support with or, God knows, end a war. So hopefully one of them will get in. Hopefully both of them, all of them get ended. Okay, thanks. My main man, Kalia, does a fantastic job. I want to thank Kalia for keeping this operation rolling. And if you want to find me online, I have a YouTube show. Just look up Garland Nixon. I'm on Instagram at Garland N. I'm on, you can email me. Here's my email address. My first name and the first letter of my last name, Garland N, right? Garland N at gmail.com. The Garland, the letter N at gmail.com. Feel free to email me. I will answer the email. And I guess you can follow me on Facebook and I'll be back next week. Thanks a lot to everybody. Peace to my main man, Kalia. I'm out.
Aaj shanivar, jaan chalo naachya, aaj shanivar.